You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, May 23rd, 2016. You're listening to episode 208. My name's Rob, there's Jason.
Hey, yeah.
Hey. We are surrounded by Legos again.
We are, like a lot.
In the recording studio.
They are multiplying.
And, you know, if you want to just not record tonight and just play with Legos, I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah, I know. Legos are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So I love having the fact that having a kid gives me an excuse to buy Legos and play with them, and no one can judge me for it.
Because
he asked for the Legos, so, you know.
Yeah. Legos are rad.
Yeah.
What's been going on apart from Legos?
Oh, gosh. What has been going on? Stuff. Lots of work stuff. He's been busy.
Busy working. Yeah. Doing that work thing. Working it out.
Taking a little break from game design because I burned myself out with Jason Tegmeyer's thing. But I'm working on a new idea that kind of spawned from that I'm pretty excited about.
Okay.
That I'm going to make into a bigger game than it would have been with him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Right on.
So that's exciting stuff.
Yeah, good.
But not too much else. That's really a lot of it. What about you?
Well, I almost cut my thumb off.
Oh, that was not smart.
No, see, I decided, hey, I'm gonna make myself some lunch this past Sunday.
Yeah,
and so I said, I think I want to make myself a bagel sandwich. Mm. I was gonna say bagel sandwich, but. Let's be proper. Sandwich. Right. I was going to make myself a bagel sandwich. And so I pull this bagel out of the fridge. And this bagel has not been sliced. Because that morning, to be a good husband while my wife was still asleep, I went to the bagel store. And I bought some fresh bagels and cream cheese.
You know they will slice them for you.
Well, I know. And then usually I do. Just I was in a hurry. I wanted to get back before she woke up. And so I just didn't think to ask. You know. So shame on me. Anyway, so bagels were not sliced. My wife was very grateful that I had gone out before she was awake and got bagels. It was good. Anyway, she went out shopping that afternoon and I decided to make myself some lunch. So I put the bagel in the one hand and I got out the bread knife in the other hand and I started to cut that bagel and that knife sure did roll right off that bagel and buried itself about 3/8 of an inch deep in the tip of my thumb.
Ouch. It looks pretty gnarly.
It looks a lot less gnarly than it did 4 days ago.
Well,
trust me.
Bet.
Yeah. It's.
So did you bleed on the bagel?
I dropped the bagel in the sink, and so then the bagel got water from the sink on it, and got covered in blood. And so I didn't get to eat the bagel. In fact, I didn't eat any lunch. And in fact, I very nearly passed out. So I managed to stumble to the bathroom. And got real sweaty and real woozy, and I sat down on the floor and just stood there, or sat there rather, with a paper towel, and with like all of my fingers numb and my arms tingling and the room spinning, and I powered through it.
That actually looks deep enough that I would have thought you may have went to the ER and gotten that glued up.
I probably should have
because it's. That's a pretty big split still.
Right. So it's I know builders can't see this, and I don't think we want to post a picture of it or
anything
in the show notes because that's gross. But if I had gone, so if I put about 3/8 of an inch deep in there, if I'd gone that much further, I would have cut the tip of my thumb off.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not even that much further.
It looks like you were at least halfway through.
I was halfway through.
And that's kind of the meaty part there. So that's the part that would be easy to just lop right off.
Yeah. I even put it probably 1/8 of an inch deep into my nail, even along with that.
See, that sucks too.
Yeah. So, so that's something I'm dealing with. Been making shuffling and dealing cards difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Playing video games difficult. Cause it's really, I mean, it feels pretty good today. Actually, obviously I don't have a Band-Aid on it. So, but yeah, it's been a gnarly experience.
Yeah. That sucks.
This is the biggest news.
Yourself.
Biggest news in my life. Phone's ringing.
And I'm back. Yay. What were we talking about? Oh, anything else new?
Let's see. At this point, when this episode posts, I'm going to be on vacation.
Yeah, jerk.
I'm going to be painting my kitchen. It'll be a real adventure to paint my kitchen. Do you like painting?
Nope. Hate it. You know how you should know that I hate painting?
How's that?
This room has been about one-tenth painted for almost a year now.
That's a good point.
So that should tell you how much I hate painting.
Yeah. This looks like you hate painting as much as I do.
Guess who else hates painting? My
wife. Yeah. 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 So I took a week off of work so that I could just paint the kitchen. And my wife is going out of town in like 3 weeks for a business trip. And I wanted to take that week off so that I could just get the painting done without her in the house, so that I just wouldn't have to deal with it and that she could just come back and it would be done. And not that she's difficult to get along with, but home projects are more likely to cause conflict, right?
Of course. Yeah.
So, and I could do things just at my own pace, you know, right. Just get it done at my own pace, not
worry
about...
That's all you got done today? That's it? That's all you got
So,
through?
There you go. So, but...
you'd be done.
But work-wise, it wasn't going to work out for me to be out that week. So I'm taking next week off, and she'll just have to not be critical.
I see. Well, the week that you get back...
I hope she never hears this.
She will. I think that's a pretty low risk. She will... so the week you get back, yeah. I'll be gone for a week.
Yeah.
So we'll be in the Outer Banks.
Oh, right.
Having driven 1,000 miles towing a camper behind.
Yeah.
Which only makes me slightly terrified because we're going through mountains. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting.
Just over the Appalachian.
I mean, they're not exactly small. I mean, they're Rockies, but
Rockies.
They are...
it's just kind of you go up once, you go down once, you're done. That is not
a fair indication, and I know because we just drove to Baltimore,
but it was
basically not, the same trip except for when you get to DC, you go down instead of out.
Sure, so. Yeah, it's not that bad though.
Yeah,
Appalachians are pretty easy.
Yeah, so it should be exciting. Okay. We're gonna be right by the ocean, so I'll make sure to spend some time swimming in the ocean. I'm just kidding. Why would anyone ever do that? So my friend Will is coming with us, and I'm gonna be surfing.
Why wouldn't you swim in the ocean, Jason?
Because the ocean is death, Rob. Because the ocean is death.
Well, it'll probably be a little cold.
Doesn't matter. You know what's not going to be cold? The heated pool at the campground. That's what's not going to be cold. That's where I'm going
to
be.
So you're going to go all the way to the Outer Banks, and then you're going to spend the whole time in the campground in the heated pool. You're not going to actually go...
Well, I'm not going to like spend the whole time in the heated pool. Where the campground is right on the ocean, so that's exciting. We'll go down to the ocean. We'll walk along the ocean. I'll probably even put my feet in the ocean. I might touch the ocean. You know what I won't do? Swim in the ocean.
Why not?
Because I don't want to die.
Because you're a wuss. What would kill you in the ocean, Jason? Tell me.
Jellyfish, sharks, stonefish.
And all of those things are very common around the Outer Banks, North Carolina.
Do you know that they're not?
They're absolutely not. I guarantee
you. How do you know that?
I know that. My dad grew up around there.
What?
Okay.
Your dad grew up in like 100 places. He can't possibly know anything about anything.
He grew up in Statesville, North Carolina, okay, his entire life until he joined the Marine Corps. And he had a job working at a boat shop in the Outer Banks, in that area, in some little tourist town.
He dodged a bullet every day. You know, in fact, it's funny because my friend Ro will purposely post photos and stuff of the ocean that were bad, and one was from the Eastern Seaboard where a lady was she had to go to the hospital. She had a small shark, like a nurse shark, like a little one, stuck in her arm.
It
bit her arm and then couldn't get its fangs out.
Teeth.
Well, those little ones are kind of like fangs. I mean, they're just like little, you know. So, anyways,
you're such a wuss.
I will not be swimming in the ocean. I will not be doing anything in the ocean. I just realized we know builders in North Carolina.
You know a lot of builders. We know a lot of builders
but
in North Carolina.
But I'm thinking none of them live near... So we're going to be in Rodanthe.
I don't know exactly where that is.
Which really excites my wife because of some stupid movie by Nicholas Sparks.
There's some movie with that name.
I think it's something in Rodanthe. Knights in Rodanthe. I don't know.
I don't know.
You know what it is? Something I don't care about. But she's super excited because apparently the house that they filmed the movie in is there.
Wow.
Whoa. Wow.
Great. Movies.
Whoa. It's Nicholas Sparks. So I haven't seen the movie. You know what I can tell you about it?
I don't know who
Someone dies.
I don't know who Nicholas Sparks is.
So every chick flick movie, I swear this come out, like, gosh, I said chick flick. People are going to be mad. Listen, I get it. I said chick flick. It's like a thing. It's stereotype, but it's a thing. Don't get mad at me, people. I love girls. So, and chick flicks are not good. But anyways.
Keep on digging, man. So,
romantic comedies. Is that better? Is that the preferred nomenclature?
I wasn't judging.
So this isn't, though, a romantic comedy. This is just like a sappy story where, like, there's two people, and I guarantee one of them dies. Because Nicholas Sparks, who wrote The Notebook, you've heard of that, right?
Oh, one of those movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See? Yeah, yeah. So Nicholas Sparks, who wrote a ton of those movies, all of them
end
with someone dying.
Or multiple people.
Right. It could be. But at least one person will croak. Maybe two people will die in bed together of old age.
Right.
That actually happened.
Yeah, I know.
In one of his books.
I've seen The Notebook. Movies.
Oh, it is The Notebook.
I've seen The Notebook. Yes, sadly. I was
the worst.
I was forced to sit through that in one of those moments where, you know, you're dating somebody and they really want you to see this thing and you go, okay, maybe it'll be good. and then at the end, you have to pretend that you didn't hate every minute of your life while it was happening.
Right.
Yeah.
But you did.
I love my wife anyway.
Right. At least it was your wife. So it wasn't like it ended up not being worthwhile.
Yeah. Right.
So anyway, I can't picture your wife watching those movies. It's interesting.
I think it was her. I'm pretty sure it was her.
No, I mean, maybe, but she's not
big on those. No, she's absolutely not big on that kind of crap. That one, for whatever reason, I think was just one that
kind of pervasive in the culture, you know.
It was a big deal when it happened.
So,
yeah.
Anyways, hey, let's not talk about this anymore.
Okay. I like the sound of that.
I like the hate emails that I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about a topic. So,
hey, have we talked about Civil War yet on the show?
No.
No, I guess we can't though, can we?
Well, we can say that it was really good.
It's pretty good.
It was really just like if the Winter Soldier was an Avengers movie, that's what that movie was. Yeah.
I don't think it's as good as Winter Soldier.
No, but I mean, it's that style, right?
Yeah. And it was better than either of the Avengers movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. By a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. First Avengers movie was really solid, but I do think it was better than either one of them.
Yeah.
So the thing they did, that this is not a spoiler, but the thing they did that was so fantastic was they had way more people in it than they did in the Avengers 2.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it still felt like everyone got an arc that wasn't cheap.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of one character that you don't care about anyway. So, and you know what? That character got a huge arc in Avengers Age of Ultron. So good enough.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I know you know. And most of the people who've seen it know who I'm talking about.
Sure. We don't want to spoil.
We're not spoiling it.
Yeah. Right.
Anyways, it was a really good flick.
It was good. Yeah. It
had a lot of good moments.
Yeah. It's worth your time.
Spider-Man is amazing.
Yeah. And I think I saw on Twitter that you didn't like it. Well, you're wrong.
Yeah, Shu, why would you not like it?
Yeah, so sorry, buddy.
You know what? You if you leave us a voicemail, Shu, about why you don't like it, I'll play that voicemail.
Yeah.
Keep it under a minute, though.
Yeah.
We don't want people to hear you being really mad about this movie for a long time. They've got robbed for that with most movies, so. So anyways, let's talk about a topic.
All right, let's do that. Yeah.
So, a topic to talk about. So we were going back and forth
Casey
about...
Casey Kasem there.
Casey Kasem. I grew up with that jazz. So,
What's our topic tonight, Jason?
So one of the more popular things we've done in the past that builders really seem to like was we've picked topics like saying lessons from something, right?
Yeah.
What can we learn from blah? And we did it with game shows. People were really jazzed about that. We did it with reality TV.
Uh-huh.
People also really like that. So, and you know, we like to pick topics we don't know much about. So, so I felt like this was good. So, because neither one of us have ever done this before.
Sure.
But we are going to talk about what can we learn from LARPing?
What can we learn from LARPing?
To extrapolate to tabletop games, right? So I want to just preface this real quick with, of course, you could say, well, basically LARPing is RPG brought to life, right? Is a role-playing game brought to life. And that is true. But we're talking about not role-playing games. We're going to talk about regular old tabletop board and card games.
Because LARPing, by definition, is not on your tabletop.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. But I'm just saying that LARPing is an extension, a physical version of role-playing.
Right.
So let's just cut that out and say that's not it.
Okay.
So
lessons to learn from LARPing. Let's talk about what LARPing is, because that's the thing that you have to do.
Why don't you describe LARPing?
So LARPing is it's kind of the natural evolution of people who really enjoy role-playing games, where instead of sitting around a table and acting as your character in communication with other players or the game master or whatever, it's where you get up and you actually act out the interactions as you play the game, and you take on the role of your character completely in terms of what you say and how you say it and even what you wear. A LARP is a live action role play. That's exactly what it stands for. And I know that there are big events where people will go to things, I don't know, fairgrounds and campgrounds and things, and they will have big LARP events that will last weekends or weeks even. And it's a big thing. And so that's probably enough of explaining what a LARP is, because I'm sure most of you already know.
Right.
But just in case, it's a thing that you have to do when you're doing this stuff.
So to preface, as I said, we have never LARPed before.
Though we have role played and we enjoy it very much.
And we've each known several LARPers. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I feel like we are educated on this topic to say that we know something about it. Not just that, you know, we're just, I don't know anything about this topic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's good.
I also want to say, I get LARPing. Like, I've not done it. It's not something that I'm interested in doing. It's not my thing, but I get it.
Right.
I totally get why somebody would want to do that.
Absolutely.
And would love that. I totally get it.
I mean, it's basically like improv.
Yeah.
But you're in characters and predefined rules, you know?
Yeah.
The other thing that, so I've never learned before either, but what I have done is at Gen Con one year, we did the Gamer Olympics, mm-hmm. which culminated in you sword fighting with someone.
Yeah.
With these foamish swords, and you got hurt really bad because you suck, and then I avenged your death. But
guy hit me with a stick that was not padded.
Yeah. He
almost broke my wrist.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It was really big and swollen.
Yeah.
And then I killed the guy, but, I mean, not really, cause it's a foam sword, but I did avenge Rob. So anyways, that was super duper fun. Like, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I don't want to go do that like on a Saturday for the whole day, but that 10 minutes mm-hmm. was a good time.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
So what lessons can we learn from LARPing?
So I think when you start with LARPing, right? Think of the main components. The idea is to give you the feeling of really being in it, right? Of really mm-hmm. being in the action. And that's the step up it has theoretically on role playing,
sure.
right? Is that you're actually in the action.
Immersion.
So yeah, immersion is a great way to say it. So how can we achieve immersion? Because I think immersion is going to be probably the number one thing that you're going to need to achieve in a board game to replicate that type of feeling of LARPing, right?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of things that can help with that are flavor text in games, you know, flavor text in cards, things that flesh out not just the mechanics but the theme, the whatever the world is that is being represented in that game.
Yep.
You know, excellent art, excellent styling, mechanics that feel thematically justified,
right?
To make that a full experience where nothing feels out of place between mechanics and theme, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think they need to be really well correlated, right? And I think that is a good lesson to learn from that, right? Is that when you have a strong theme, so you don't have to have a strong theme. You can have a game that doesn't have a theme. That's totally cool.
Sure.
I played games like that and they were fun.
Mm-hmm.
They don't draw me in as well, right? Because that immersion of the strong theme. But if you do have a strong theme, and I will say this is a fact, if you have a strong theme, your rules better be justified by the theme, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go out and have a strong theme, then you need to live by that theme, right? Because that is your code of honor for that game, right?
Right.
Your mechanics match the theme. Super important.
Yep.
If you want to have wacky mechanics that don't match anything, hey, do a really light theme and no one will care.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I think that actually really does, another thing that like a lesson learned is, so when you're LARPing, you're playing a character, right?
Yep.
And playing a character is something you can do in a normal tabletop game, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe that's why I'm so drawn to games where I'm a character, right? Like, here's your character card.
Mm-hmm.
It's who you are. Like a Sentinels game where it's like, this is me. I'm this hero, right? That's my job. And I think games that draw well from that, IP games are really good at that, right? Like, I played DC Deck Builder. And that was, I played that last year at, kind of on a whim at
was it a
Grand Con? Yeah. With I think it was Josh Mills, myself, Bo. I think it was Bo Hanbo.
Hanbo, okay.
It's like Bo, and I was thinking Severson, and I'm like, he wasn't there, it was Hanbo.
There you go.
Too many Bos, guys. Come on.
But
anyway, so it was Han, myself, I think Mills, and then Chris Kirkman was like, what are you guys doing? Are you playing this game? I love this game. He's like, if I can be the Flash, I'll play. And so we're like, oh, you can be the Flash. So we played in that, you know, you were that character, right? Like he was the Flash and I was Actually, I think I was Cyborg, which kind of sucked, but he was actually really good. Like,
okay, well, that's good.
Like, games like that are smart when they're like, oh, this character, nobody wants to be them. Make them awesome, and then mm-hmm. no one will care.
Yeah.
Was I Cyborg? I might have been Aquaman. It might have been that bad. I think I was Aquaman.
Wow.
But he was actually super good because, okay. again, they wanted to make you feel good about being Aquaman, and that's hard to good. Do. So anyways, I think that IP games are good at that, right? Because uh-huh. that you want to be those characters, right? Mm-hmm. You want to be that guy, yeah. that girl, that hero, that yeah. whatever. So I think that's a good thing to uh-huh. note from that. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, you know, giving good representation to mechanics that give you a good feeling for what you're doing, right? Like,
okay.
because there has to be some improvisation in LARPing. And I don't mean like improv, like, oh, hey, Rob, what's up? Oh, why are we in this candy factory? You know, like,
because we both love candy, Jason. I mean, and plus I heard it was haunted. So we're staying here over the night.
Well, yes, you know that there were a lot of murders that happened here of cows. Mm-hmm. So
the great candy murders, yes. you know, because it used to be a slaughterhouse.
Right.
It's a weird thing. There were all the murders in the slaughterhouse, and that guy was finally caught, and then he escaped and never returned. Of course, this place was abandoned for 20 years. Now it's a candy factory,
right.
And people have been seeing murders happen again here, and they've been seeing the ghosts of cows. It's just, and since we're a ghost investigations team, I thought it was just the perfect opportunity for us to really check this place out.
Yes, but see, we tend to be in over our heads because we're a fake ghost investigations team, remember? It was all a joke, but now it's real. And, you know, I'm not sure. I kind of feel like I'm Heath Ledger and the Brothers Grimm. I'm not sure what to do. So anyway, so that's improv. But
I didn't say it was good improv.
I didn't say it was good improv. I said, so that's improv.
Uh-huh.
Bad improv, whatever. We had fun with it. It was good. But I mean improvisation of like, I have to represent being able to cast magic spells without, uh-huh. you know, I can have a sword. I can have a sword that's not going to hurt anybody, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Well, so you're talking about mechanics justified by the theme again. Yeah.
Right. But I was also thinking of mechanics that make you feel like you are doing okay. the thing.
Okay.
Right? So if I'm, let's say that in the game we are people defusing bombs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or mines in a minefield, right?
Okay.
Would you say
that we're mine sweepers?
Maybe, yes. That was my first thought. But if you've got a grid of cards that you're going through, or some sort of mishmash of cards, right? Like, I'm thinking like Katarsis got that game Camp Khaki, where it's like all the cards are mixed up in there.
Yeah.
Like if you were drawing those out, right? Mm-hmm. Looking for dirt cards, not mine cards, right? And when you pull it out, you're trying to see what it is. So that tense moment of when you grab the card to pull it out, like mm-hmm. that feels like, you mean, in a not like way, but it is a good representation of you looking for mine somewhere, right?
Okay.
And trying to make that tense moment of, mm-hmm. oh, it's okay, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Okay. So how about a key factor of LARPing is the player interaction.
Okay. Indeed.
Really, really high quality player interaction where the players are fully invested while they're doing it.
Yes. That's
and,
good.
And if you can find some way to encourage real positive player interaction, that's an extremely valuable thing.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. I mean, player interaction, that's something that so many times I know you and I both have experienced with the designs and other designers as well. Like, you design a game and you're like, everybody's playing this game, but nobody's doing anything together,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know? And you can have a game like Dominion where the one flaw I always give Dominion is they tried to tack on player interaction, and it's kind of stupid because those cards are the least fun, they feel tacked on, right?
It's true, yeah.
Whereas you're playing your own game, that's okay. I'm still affecting you by the cards I buy, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'm buying cards, and it's taking away from the cards you can buy. But I think if you're looking for a game that has that same type of feeling as LARPing, you know, the lesson learned from there is that you need a game with that positive player interaction where you are engaged with one another and my actions affect you directly. Not that it has to be a take that game, but just the choices I make have a direct implications for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Sure.
This is actually turning into a pretty decent discussion. I'm impressed at the the different things we're thinking about here with LARPing. You know, I think that player investment is a big thing. You know, I think a type of game play that would a style of game, I mean, that would really lend itself to something like that is a game, a legacy style game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're coming back every week and your actions are having lasting effects, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was, one of the things I was complaining about the game Munchkin was just when I get into the game ends, right?
Mm-hmm. Except that game sometimes can go on forever.
Yeah, but never in a good way. You know what I mean? Like, usually, like, if you're like, oh, I'm doing awesome, I feel so good, and then you just win. Or people make you less awesome, sure. You know?
And that's when Munchkin is fun. But when Munchkin is not fun is when it just keeps going.
Right.
Forever.
Right, right.
And that's it. That you, I feel like it's difficult to control for when that may or may not happen in Munchkin.
Yeah. Well, it's not the most balanced game in the world.
Yeah, the chaos in that is right. Either but, extremely surprising and fun or extremely draining and boring.
But remember, people are not playing that game to... Because they're playing like a well-balanced design game. They're playing they enjoy the chaos.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, you're right. That's why you play that game.
That's a game that for a long time I always was like, I really want to buy that game. I really want to buy that game. And then I started playing more games, and then I played more games in Munchkin where they didn't go as well. And I was like, I'm so glad I never bought that mm-hmm, game. So, mm-hmm. But lots of people love it.
That's the kind of game that I would be happy to play once or twice a year at a party with a bunch of people.
Yep.
If I'm at that party, someone else probably already has Munchkin.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to buy it. Yeah.
Right. Staff and Napalm. So right. That's always my favorite.
Yeah. So yeah.
So I think we've covered a lot of it. Okay. So builders, if you have other thoughts on mm-hmm. LARPing and some lessons we could steal from some things we could steal from LARPing mm-hmm. to use, for game design, good things about LARPing, or maybe things to watch out for, like, hey, you know, don't ever steal this, you know, like the actual sword fights, right? Actual sword fights do not play well at a mm-hmm. table. So it's messy.
Probably should stay away from that.
Yeah.
Lego sword fights, though, with little Lego men fighting with swords, totally cool.
You know, yeah, that would be true. You know what else is another point I just thought of?
What did you just think of?
Physical interaction at the table.
Uh-huh.
Not just player interaction, but actual physical interaction. Cash mm-hmm. and guns is a good example of that.
It's a great example of that, right?
So where I'm pointing a gun at you. Now, mm-hmm. we're not actually touching each other or doing anything, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that physical interaction of us reaching off the mm-hmm. table and doing something, I think that is also something mm-hmm. that works really well.
Sure.
Now, actually, I don't really care for that game, but... Mm-hmm. I do think that it's, you know, yeah.
Well, we need to play the newest edition. I've heard the newest edition fixes a lot of problems.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I have heard that too. So, yeah. It's a great idea.
It
right?
is. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't get a lot of, I would like somebody to make a game like that, but with foam swords and shields and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Nerf did that.
No, but like a tabletop game where you're sitting there.
Oh. And then you're swinging swords at each other over the table? And then you're knocking all your pieces over?
No, I didn't say that.
No. Where you just hold your sword up and wave it in the air?
Yeah, like they need to make one called like Swords and Shields.
Okay, make that game.
So, no.
Okay.
Somebody should though.
All right, task out there.
Sweet.
Yeah, what else? Are we going to move on?
Yeah, I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
Okay.
All right. But no, I mean, I feel like we've covered some points. I feel
some
pretty
decent
good
ideas there. Yeah.
Some decent ideas.
Yeah. And obviously not all those ideas are going to apply to every game and be appropriate.
Of course.
Every game,
not.
You know,
no,
it's
no,
just,
no.
Just lessons potentially to apply.
Right. Fun yeah. things that you can steal. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Okay. You're getting sleepy. So I guess it's time for me to pitch a game, huh?
Yeah. Cause that'll surely put me out.
Yeah.
So this is another one of those times when we have not talked, like we don't talk as much about games we're going to pitch.
Yeah.
So like, I literally have no idea what you're pitching.
Yeah.
I've never played it, and mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's been... Normally, when we talk about this stuff, we talk about it, like, when we have some downtime at work or something.
Right.
And we've been real busy.
Yeah, we really haven't had downtime at work. They've been keeping us both slammed, and,
yeah.
You know, my boss is just such a jerk. He's always keeping us busy.
Yeah.
Rob's boss is super nice. He's not my boss, so it's cool.
Yeah. So, I wasn't listening to you. I decided to go with another BoardGameizer inspiration. If anybody doesn't know, BoardGameizer.com is a fun little website. You just go there and it gives you a random mechanic, a random theme, a random win condition,
mm-hmm.
and if you want, a random constraint.
Indeed.
Okay.
And it's fun. So.
And it's fun. We've done little pitch challenges based on that before. So I needed some inspiration. So I went there and I said, let me just take the first thing I can get. So the first thing I got from their mechanics were grid movement and programmed movement.
So grid movement, your kind of fallback thing.
Yep. The theme recommendation was Planet Earth and New York. The win condition was win the most rounds.
Okay.
And the constraint was 18 cards.
Oh.
Which was kind of funny.
Yeah, that is kind of funny.
Yeah. So a little late for this idea, but thanks anyway, Board Gameizer.
It's because it's their fault.
Right, it is. Because it's just inspiration, I didn't hold super tight to those ideas, but so this is kind of where I went with this. This game, right now, I'm calling it Battle for New York. Okay. Probably not a good name, but whatever.
You should call it the Battle of New York.
I'm not going to do that. Because that's the Marvel.
Is it about superheroes and space aliens?
It's about space aliens in the military.
So it is the same thing.
Well,
are the military people wearing power suits?
I'm going with the theme that it gave me here.
Is one
okay?
of the characters the God of Thunder and Lightning?
No.
Okay.
And I didn't hold myself to 18 cards total. I held myself to 18 cards per player. So it's a 2-player game. Okay,
so 36 cards.
Yeah, so one...
Still small.
One player is the U.S. military, and one player is the alien invading force, okay? There's also a playmat, or a board, in front of you. The board... each player has a 3x3 grid of spaces that they can play cards on in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So three across, and you're across the table from each other. So basically, it's a 3x6 grid here, okay? And the grid spaces are big enough to put a card into. Okay. Your cards are represent different units you have for this battle. Okay. And I imagine at some point there would be different versions of things. Ideally the two factions would not have just direct one-to-one equivalents. You would have a variety of different powers and abilities and things.
One would have Iron Man, the other would have the Hulk.
There you go. Right. Actually, one would have Iron Man and the Hulk, and the other one would have a massive invading fleet of aliens.
Right. In like, the goal would just be to blow up the mothership and then they just fall down dead.
Well, no. Not exactly.
So you thought it through more than that?
Yeah.
Because Marvel did it.
Right. So you have your 18 units in this deck. You shuffle those up. Each player puts a deck face down and you draw 6 cards from the deck. Okay. 6 cards in your hand. Those are the cards you're going to use for this round. If you want, you can discard 2 cards and draw 2 more from your 18. Okay. But the 2 that you discard go face up. Okay. So the other person then knows a little bit more information about what you might have in your hand.
Right.
Okay. But you don't have to do that if you don't want to.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And then you take turns, whoever player one is, you pick player one. Or maybe we say the aliens always go first because the aliens invade and then the military responds.
That's great. I love when games do that.
We'll do
asymmetrical games do that.
Sure. Okay. So you go first. And then what you do is you take turns laying one card face down somewhere on your 3x3 grid. Okay. And you do that until each player has put down 5 cards. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Once that's done, you then reveal all the cards that you've played, okay? And then you take actions with those cards in initiative order. So let's talk about what's on the cards.
Yes.
Obviously, the cards are, things like tanks and infantry and snipers and whatever, right? So every card has an initiative number, mm-hmm. and the highest number always goes first at that round, in the round. And then they take their actions in the order of numbers. If there's any two cards that have the same number on opposing sides, then whatever player started the round, or I guess we would say that the military always goes first because the aliens always start the round. So if the military and the aliens have two cards that have the same initiative number, the military card goes first.
That makes sense.
Okay, all right. And there would not be any duplicates. You might have three, the military might have 3 infantry cards, but they're not going to all have the same initiative number on them.
Oh, nice.
That's okay.
A good touch.
So they don't all 3 act right at the same time. So then every card also has two abilities on it. Okay.
Okay.
One is, and you might have, so you have attacks and then you have special powers.
Mm-hmm.
And that card might have 2 attacks, might have 2 special powers, or might have 1 of each. When that card acts, you choose one of those 2 actions to use on that turn.
So you still have some options. That's nice.
You still have a couple options, right. So the attack, basically, the attack is going to, it's going to tell you where on the grid this unit is going to attack. Okay. And, maybe it's going to say if he's placed in the back row, he can always attack three spaces directly in front of him. Okay, so if he's in your back row, that means he attacks the front row of your opponent. But if he's in your front row, then he's in the back row of your opponent. Okay,
that makes total sense.
So that kind of placement thing. Sometimes some players might do like or some cards might do a whole three card section of attacks, right?
Okay.
To attack a big range, okay? But they're going to have a lower initiative order because they're more likely to die in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
So if you attack somebody, if you hit them, if you hit a card that's in that range, that card's discarded. It's out of the game. And that game, if that card hasn't acted yet, it's too bad. It's out.
Sorry about your luck.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, it's not out of the game. We would just flip it back over face down.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so, okay. If your attack were to theoretically, was one of those area attacks and were to theoretically hit multiple targets, multiple cards, you would have to pick which one it hits, because you can't hit everybody.
Right, okay.
Okay, all right. The other powers, then, are things like, you know, you can maybe move some of your cards around, move your opponent's cards around, or replace something from your draw deck, or, you know, you have still one card left in your hand, maybe you can swap something out. You mm-hmm. know, but so every card has two options, but you can only use one of those on your turn. Okay. So what you're doing then at the start of each round is you're kind of doing a semi-program movement thing where you're determining where your units are going to, you're placing those guys out there, but you're leaving some options open to you as to how you might be able to use them. Okay. But you don't, and you know where your opponent is placing guys, but you don't know what they're going to do with those guys or who those guys are. After all the cards act, and everybody takes their actions and does their attacks and whatever, the player that has the most cards still face up wins the round.
Oh, that makes total sense, yeah.
Okay, all right. Then you wipe all those off the board and put them in the discard, and then you draw six more cards, and you play again. And then again, you score, gets it, you get a victory point if you have the most cards. Mm-hmm. And then you do that until somebody has 5 points.
Nice. That's simple, okay. But you could have a lot of complexity based on the cards. Right,
right. Right. And I'm thinking if you get more than 36 cards in the game, more than 18 cards per deck, then you can kind of custom build your own little small deck, your own little small army.
Right.
Is the idea there.
I like that.
Yeah. So that's a basic idea. You know,
it's simple, but I mean, it would be effective, I think, if you had the right cards.
Yeah.
The right powers.
Yep. And I think it would play quickly. could play quickly if you, I mean, there's an opportunity for AP there where you're placing your guys out because you don't really, you're thinking about what they might have. And it's especially opportunity for real strategy when round two, you've already seen a lot of the cards that they've put out there. You might not know everything that's still in their deck, but you probably have a good idea of what some of it is. Right. You know,
especially if they've discarded to draw more.
Exactly right.
Interesting. That's, so, it would, and you could even do some different things like, you could have like one like captain, and this is not an Avengers joke, but like you could have like, this is my leader, right?
Yeah.
And if he's still alive at the end of turn one, maybe you put him back in your deck, right?
Sure.
Well, that could just be someone's special power. If still alive at the end of round one, put him back in your deck.
Yeah.
You know, you shuffle him up, maybe you get him again. Yeah, maybe
there's
you don't.
Tons of options.
There's just so
things.
Many things. It'd be cool to have like, for balancing, you could do things like, give somebody two special powers that are very powerful, but very specific, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they don't always work. Like, so you might actually have a turn where you're like, wow, he's useless. But when his powers work, oh boy, are they good, you know?
Yep.
So,
you know, and you've got options for shield. You know, you can block stuff. You know, this if somebody else is going to die in the same row or the same column,
right,
then this guy dies instead. All that kind of stuff, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Cards like this card must be taken out first, you know, like a shield generator type card.
Sure.
Right? Aliens always have that. So
right.
There's some good stuff you could do with that.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty easy to expand too. Yep. Just add a card here, a card there.
Yeah. You know? Small structure, simple idea. The board wouldn't even have to be real big, you know.
Right.
You know, I imagine the board is probably just a top down view of a city.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even have to be New York, you know.
No.
I might prefer that it's not New York.
Yeah.
But some generic city.
Santa Fe. Battle of Albuquerque.
There it is. Even better. Right. Battle for Albuquerque.
Battle for Cleveland. Nope. Nobody cares.
Not that one.
Sorry if you live in Cleveland.
So Battle for New York is what it's called. Maybe it's better as like Defense Force or something.
Defense Force 12.
I can't do that because there's a series of games called Earth Defense Force.
Defense Force 36. There's 36 cards. Sweet.
That's actually not terrible.
I know. I'm good at this.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
I think we have some questions, maybe.
We have some Twitter stuff here.
Let's do the Twitter stuff. I have a voicemail. We'll do that in the next episode.
All right. Let's see. Oh, we've got Chris Kobach. At the Kobach says, how can I quit my job and live a relatively similar lifestyle working in games? Learn to code and get into the video game industry.
Well, he's a developer, so...
Okay,
can
so
you code games? Can you develop games? Develop games.
Yeah, make some video games, apps.
Yeah. Pretty sure we both know someone who works on apps. Anyways,
I think we know a few people, yeah.
Yeah, you should talk to them, and you should do that, because that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
VC, at VC Young says, if you could build a game with somebody famous, who would it be? And what time of game do you think you'd make? You go first.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you know what my stock answer is Bruno Cathala.
Well, right,
But I don't know that that's who I'd pick. I mean, you know, he's the guy I'd like to have a beer with. I don't know, like, if our game design styles would jive, right? I mean, he might keep talking in French. I might not understand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, really. And I wouldn't want to design a game with Kanizia because he'd just be like, and then math, math, math. And I'd be like, you lost me at the first math?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, here's the thing. He said somebody famous. He didn't specify game designer. So I'm going to say Obama.
Oh.
I would like to design a game with Barack Obama because that guy's awesome. And I think it would probably be a game about, it's probably going to be something about, oh boy. It's going to have to be something related to American history. I'm going to say it would be a game about, I'm going to keep saying about until something occurs to me.
You're the worst.
Yeah, it'd be something about American history.
Okay, good there, for you.
Done.
Now that I realize we don't have to pick a game designer, and I understand the rules of this contest more, I would say Timothy Olyphant, but on the stipulation that we got the IP for the TV show Justified, and I could design the game for that.
Because
one of my favorite TV shows ever. Ooh, or Bryan Cranston make a sweet Breaking Bad game. That'd be probably too dark. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Last one here from Shu. This is actually three questions I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Okay.
Sweet.
All right. What is your name?
Jason.
What is your quest?
I don't know what my quest is. To do awesome things.
What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
I don't know the answer to this one.
Okay.
I know it's like from something, right? What movie is that from?
You don't know.
I don't know.
I'm sorry that you don't know that.
What is it?
It's something that I definitely know.
Is it some stupid Monty Python crap?
It's from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Is it the stupid? Yeah, whatever. I don't even like Monty Python, so.
I know you don't. That's why I thought it was funny to ask you that question.
Should have been like, 'tis but a scratch, you know, and I would have known what that was.
Yeah. The right answer is, what do you mean, an African or European swallow?
Oh.
And then, yeah.
So. Bring me a shrubbery.
That's in that movie, yeah.
Yeah, so there's the stuff I know.
There you go. Shu, I would like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to remind Jason about how much he doesn't know about Monty Python.
Yeah, so, I'm okay with that. Thanks,
Thank you.
All right. So, cool.
Okay.
Let's call that good.
All right, okay. Thank you for attending the Battle of New York, Battle for New York, and the podcast where we talk about LARPing.
Iron Man!
And for entertainment,
we don't know much about.
And I appreciate all your kind words and well wishes over the healing of my horrible thumb injury. I promise it'll be better soon. I have confidence. I have faith. I don't think it's going to shrivel up into like a little prune and then fall off. Though then I might be able to get disability or something because I wouldn't have a thumb. Would it grow back? What do you think?
It would not grow back.
Because
you're not a lizard.
Then I could get a sweet, like Iron Man style prosthetic thumb, a thumb. That's what I would do, a prosthetic thumb. Tum?
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Can we end this show, please?
Okay. Thanks everybody for listening. You know all of this stuff at podcastbtg at jaslingerlin at poorly_design, buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. You already subscribed to our thing apparently, so you know you can get us on iTunes and all the other places. 770 tell BTG.
Words.
We'll see you. Bye bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Wow, so rolling Legos makes a loud sound.
Right. It makes the loudest of sounds.